Good morning. It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the birthday of the church, the ingathering and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon the church 2,000 years ago, energized believers, and spread the gospel throughout the world. Today we will be celebrating communion, and our communion is an open communion, so all are welcome at the table. Whatever elements you have at home, we urge you to take, and at that time we will celebrate communion and break bread together. Next Sunday, we're welcoming Frank Kozlerich, who is the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church. He's going to join me here as we talk about the Trinity. And our sisters and brothers at Sister Bay Moravian Church have recorded a service, and they'll be doing this each Sunday, and we'll be sending a link to that. We're so grateful for the pastors and all the instrumentalists and all the folks that are working so diligently to bring a word to us. It's not an easy thing. We were not taught virtual church 101 in seminary. And so we're trying to figure all of this out, but we're so grateful that we have the technology, that we have the means to broadcast the good news. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you. The watchword for the week is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. The reflection comes to us from Pastor Dan Olson. Did you know that the microbes on just one of your hands outnumber all of the people on the earth? Or that millions of microbes could fit into the eye of a needle? These one-celled living organisms are too small for us to see without a microscope, yet they live in the air, soil, water, and even in our bodies. We constantly interact with them, even though their world is completely beyond our senses. Likewise, wind is impossible to see, but we can certainly see what it does and feel it as well. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter. It's known also as the birthday of the church. It's difficult for us to grasp the enormity of this event. Like a violent storm, the Spirit breathed life into the church, and that gift is nothing less than the powerful presence of our Lord. The Spirit, by its power, propels us constantly into motion and beckons us to do the works of Jesus. We proclaim the good news of forgiveness and new life. We are also enthused by the gift of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Please join us as we sing, "Come Now, O Lord," printed in your worship bulletin.
Concerns. We are so grateful for all of those who are continuing to speak for justice, to speak for peace. We are grateful for the people who are caring for the sick and dying. We're so grateful that Andre is out of the hospital. He's home recovering. We had asked for prayers for him last week, and we ask that you would continue to pray for full recovery for Andre. We're so grateful that Kay went through her surgery well, and she is recovering. She's still in the hospital, and we ask for your prayers for Kay. We want to remember my brother Bud in our prayers. He asked for prayers today. He is not feeling well. We want to remember in our prayers the family of our brother, George Floyd, who died, and most of us saw how his life was snuffed out. We want to pray for his family. We want to pray for his church family, for all those who have been affected. We also want to pray that the systems of oppression would be removed from this country. I quote our brother Kerry, who had spoken about this in his podcast. He said, "There is one sermon that we, the Church of Jesus, need to have, and it's one word sermon that each of us can speak, and that one word is enough. Enough violence, enough injustice, enough racism, enough death. We need to stand and raise our voices." And I also believe that this is a call for repentance. At first, I was going to ask us to pray for peace, but peace often means a restoration of order. And we cannot ask for a restoration of order for just one race in this country. If we are to have a restoration of peace, it needs to be a restoration for us all. I, as a mother, pray for the day that someone can walk down the street and not be targeted, just like my son can walk down the street. I, as a mother, pray for the day that when someone is pulled over for a traffic violation, that guns are not drawn, just as when my son is pulled over for traffic violations, guns are not drawn on him. I seek for a day when the levers of power are not just in the hands of one race, but reflect the plurality here in the United States. I pray for the day when our churches will reflect that diversity, not only in the pews, but in the places that people make decisions, monetary decisions, decisions on polity. If we look around at our churches, most of them look like me. And I pray for repentance. My own repentance, that God will break my heart and break the hearts of all of us here so that we can speak the genuine word of peace. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for the people who are speaking out against injustice. We are so grateful for the healing that we have seen this week. We're so grateful for Andre that you've brought him out of the hospital, and we ask that you would continue to speak healing and strength to his body. We're so grateful that you were with Kay as she underwent surgery, and we ask for full and complete healing for our sister Kay. We ask that you would build Buddy up and give to him your healing mercy. We bring before you the family of George Floyd, and we ask, O Lord, for your healing mercy to be upon them, that you would grant to them your balm in Gilead. We pray for all the systems of oppression, that they will be broken in this country and throughout the world, and that you will begin by giving us a heart to repent of our own sin. Lord, we ask and we beg and we plead for not the peace that brings order, but the peace that brings justice. We ask that justice would reign upon this country, for we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it can be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. The gospel lesson is taken from the book of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pentecost, I always have the book of Acts read, except for this particular Pentecost Sunday. The book of Acts is a wonderful thing because it talks about flames, it talks about wind, talks about the excitement, talks about 3,000 people getting saved in one day, and all we pastors are very jealous of that because we want all those members coming into our church. And so it's a wonderful time in the church life, Pentecost Sunday. But this Pentecost Sunday is different. And as I was choosing the scriptures from the lectionary text, I came across the one that we have in John's gospel. Now, every Pentecost, we have this particular gospel, and I never preach on it because it's kind of a letdown. You know, the doors are locked, Jesus comes, and he breathes on them. Now, that might be exciting during times of COVID-19 to have somebody breathe on you, but it's kind of a letdown until today. And today it just seemed appropriate that we speak not about wind, not about flames of fire coming on the disciples, not about all the excitement, but about the spirit behind locked doors. And someone pointed out, and I thought it was something I had never seen before, before Jesus breathed the Spirit on them, what was the first thing he did? He showed them his wounds. Although he had been risen from the dead, the wounds were still visible. And I think of the wounds that we have today in our country. We have 100,000 people in 3 months who have died from a virus. I see the wounds in our community. Even though we have been spared the things that have happened in the city,
I watch it when I walk into our establishments. We have a tourist economy, and it's at this time that we have to make up all our money for the entire year. Most of our restaurants and shops open for about 6 months, and they have to make enough in those 6 months to last them the whole year. And I see the worry on their faces because they're trying to balance being open and not catching a terrible virus. I see the brokenness when I watch that young man's life being snuffed out, and I watched as people begged for his life and they were unheard. I see the brokenness as cities are erupting in violence. And now, perhaps more than ever, I understand the wounds. God wounded for us. You remember that wonderful Isaiah passage? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Paul said it this way. He talked about being afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, always carrying in the body, our bodies, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be visible in our bodies, that we are the embodiment of the wounded one. And we as the church have been given such power. Now, I've got to tell you, I don't feel very powerful right now. I feel kind of puny, much like those disciples felt. But Jesus breathed on them the very breath of God, and he continually breathes on his church the very breath of God. Scott Hosea wrote it this way: the Spirit came to us from one whose body has been broken and still showed the signs of this. And that Spirit comes to us and calls us to a sacrificial ministry in a world full of brokenness and a world willing to keep on breaking all that is holy. And so in this world of brokenness, with people who are still willing to break all that is holy, the church of God needs to stand up. And maybe it's okay that we're locked out of this building where we are used to coming to worship and to be comforted and to be supported, because maybe now the Spirit's going to drive us out so that we can be healers, so that we can heal the oppression of our land, so we can heal the sick, so that we can raise those who are spiritually dead and emotionally wounded. It is our time, church, to speak the very words of the Spirit and of life, and to bring life into this community and beyond. And we bear it in the broken body of Jesus. May the breath of his Spirit fill us all this day. Let us pray. O Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would infuse us with your Spirit, and may we bear in our bodies the brokenness of this world. And may in that brokenness we bring healing, restoration, justice. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are invited to join us in the supper of our Lord. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us eat in remembrance of him." Mm-hmm. of God who dwells within my heart. We live from sin through all its pulses move. To my weakness, mighty as you are, and make me love you as I ought to love. Did you not bid us love you, God and King? Love you with all our heart and strength and mind. I see the cross there, teach my heart to cling. Oh, let me seek you, and oh, let me find. Teach me to feel that you are always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising, down the rebel side. Teach me the patience of unceasing also after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us partake together the cup of salvation."
If you cannot preach like Peter,
Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.